a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightside Project.
I may be super,
but I am no hero.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
You realize, though, Alex, this is just temporary.
Yeah, I still took your parking space, and I'm not giving it back.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. I got Alex Carey here with me. Alex, we're doing it.
Yeah,
giving the people what they want.
Yeah, we did
finally.
Good night, everybody. Thank you so much for being.
You know, I've got a flurry of tweets coming at me. This
I know,
past
and
week.
They're so mean.
And
they're blaming us
for the continued coronavirus struggle. And I know
us or our bosses, because you know we were willing to keep going. Our bosses said, "I think we got this. We're good without you guys."
And obviously, that was not the case.
Right. I mean, look, it's like. Our bosses basically rolled in like George Bush with the mission accomplished banner.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, hello, we have this thing figured out. So thank you so much, Nightside.
Yep.
We did it.
See ya. We're gonna stick with heavy jazz coverage probably well into October.
Oh, boy, the dang jazz. The jazz mm-hmm. stink.
That went great. They don't stink.
No, but you know what? I think what we find, we did find out, though. And I refused to believe it. I was like, no, they're awesome. They just had bad luck in those last three games. And Ben Anderson, who works with us at KSL Sports, he was like, you know what? Maybe that's as good as they are right now. In fact, that is exactly how good they are. But the problem was he did say if they had Boyan, they'd 100% would have won in five games. So
really.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Everybody gets injuries and stuff like that.
It's nice to see, though, some of the players really leaving it all out on the court.
What, like all their tears? Your tears do nothing for me. How about a layup? Jeez.
Hey, but, I mean, I'm talking specifically about Donovan Mitchell.
I know. I am, too.
Who
got the ball stripped
at
the very end? Well, nobody. I get it. No, he did awesome. He's a sweet kid. If you're hearing this podcast, it means that we are dead. And
in our last will and testament.
Yeah. No, I just thought it'd be interesting that we come back, we finally do this. So if you're hearing this podcast, it means that we went off the air. And yes, it only was 6 weeks ago or whatever it was, but yeah.
I want to catch up with you though. We really haven't been chatting. You've been focused on your
hey,
sports.
Football. College football is starting up this weekend.
Mm-hmm. I've really improved my game on Call of Duty.
Oh, good.
Which is a real focus of mine. I'm very proud.
I love that. Seriously though, like on a professional standpoint, I love that you're like tweeting stuff out. You're like, look at these stock market gains. Burp.
Well, I could tweet out information about Call of Duty. I could do that. But I don't know what people.
Hey,
want
everybody.
More. What do people want?
You want to be safe in retirement,
do people want to make money, or do they want to play video games?
It's fine. I got it.
But, you know, I don't know what else.
So what have I been up to? What have you been up to? I'll start.
Having another child.
We are having another kid. So the thing about, let me ask you this, though, because we're having child number six. And
awesome.
you come from a family of large children.
I do. But so do you.
Yeah,
so
no, I was the sixth of
so
six
Colin,
kids.
Right?
Let me ask, kind of. My wife, they have five kids in her family.
Pretty good.
Yeah, but. Let me ask you this, because it's been embarrassing to reveal to people, because there's a stigma attached to it. Even in very fertile Utah, even in very like we're in a place where people are accepting already of you having a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And I'm getting bad. I get like.
Do you get a little side eye?
I get looked at weird. Mm. That's just by my wife. No, but like she. No, honestly, people look at her and they go, "This is what's been amazing, though." And she's always been pretty fit. She's always been very fit and does not look her age and all these things. And so we've gone these walks around our neighborhood, and a lot of times, so our kids will be in school. Our kids are doing the hybrid plan or whatever. So on the days that they're in school, we'll have maybe the youngest with us, you know?
Yeah.
And he'll be on his little bike. He's scooting around. And they always ask her because she's due in less than 2 months now. She's due in the very end of October.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, and they're like, so what's this one? People always come to me, so what's this one? Oh, it's a girl. Oh, that's great. You know, one's fun, but two is just, you know, at first I would just like ignore it and be like, oh, yeah. But at the same time, I don't want to keep that ruse up of being really? No. Interesting. Yeah, like kids are weird, huh? I didn't know that.
No, you're right.
There's also this thing too where I know they're going to be blown away when I tell them, this is number six for her.
Well, when they tell you, when they say those things like, well, one is great, but two is this, just say, hey, well, do you have any advice for six?
Right.
Because
I go,
this one's number six.
I go, well,
and then
we have.
Just let them react.
Well, because I know we have been. I've been going, well, we have, one day it was just she and I walking. And she goes, and this lady was like, so when are you due? Blah, blah, blah. And they were like, you guys are going to love it. Enjoy this walking by yourself while you can. That's what the lady kept saying. And I was like, we have five at home. And the lady's like, oh, my gosh. And then they look at her and they go, wow, you're having a sixth kid? And it boosts her self-esteem. That's the other reason I like telling people, because it boosts her self-esteem.
And it should. You've got, she's very beautiful.
But here's the thing, though, is that I feel super judged. And I've told you my theory over the years.
Okay.
Five is the new eight. Mm-hmm. And six is the new 10. So when people had 10 kids back in the day, it happened in our community, but people were always like, all right, why don't you guys settle down a little bit? Like,
that was the
kind of the vibe. I get that with six for sure. I mean, our whole reason we moved in March was we knew she was pregnant back then. It looked like, and that was the other thing, is I didn't want people to think we're having a corona baby. That we just got bored, and then we have
and
a baby because
like,
of coronavirus.
Let's have number six.
Right? No, this was planned in at the end of last year, and we're like, we're gonna have this baby come 2020 at the end of 2020, and so we better figure it out. And then the Rona hit, and then all bets are off. So.
Well, you know, there's always been something of a stigma, even back when I was growing up. I'm oldest of seven, and I've learned. This was never disclosed to me when I was a child because my parents are pretty private. And
yes.
I don't know, how do you talk about this with your kids? But there were times when people would try and talk to them about, you know, well, financially, how are you going to make this work? Because, you know, my mom's a teacher, my dad's an artist, and we've never been wealthy. And I can't think of anything more appropriate to bring up with someone than whether or not they're having too many kids, and certainly trying to introduce a financial aspect to it.
I mean, there's two whammies in there where you don't want to talk about those things, but people for some reason feel like talking about it.
You're right. Could there be anything more out of bounds and more not their business than this?
No, it's like this year it would be, I want to hear your political views after you tell me how you guys are going to pay for this baby number 10.
I know. It's like when people come up to you and they're like, what do you think about Trump? You're like, what? Who are you? What's your game here? What's your game? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to drag me into?
You can't do it now. Everybody's like,
no.
There's something attached to it. It's just like that's why I avoid everything that has to do with it at all. And you know, there was a weird thing that happened where sports suddenly got thrust into the politics.
Yeah.
And Scott and I were total fish out of water. I'm like, listen, we're doing this sports show. You know what that means? We never have to address politics. And then all the players were like, we're giving up on the season until you figure it out. And then we're like, and then we get on the air. We go on the air the night that Real Salt Lake canceled their match, like 5 minutes before that. And we're just trying to roll out with the, with the information of it. But at the same time, the NBA playoffs were in flux. I mean, we didn't know if we were going to be having them still. And Scott's like, I think they should still play the playoffs. And people were like, how insensitive of you. You know, and it's like, okay, we're supposed to have an opinion on a sports show. We're not going to do that anymore. Welcome back. There are sports. Then they went away for COVID reasons. Then they went away for other reasons, what we won't talk about. So
we'll be back after this traffic and weather.
It'll last 6 weeks.
Well, you know, I was watching TV that night. I turned on the match, and I actually wound up watching. So the pregame, I was actually impressed with how well Brian Dunseth did.
Oh, yeah.
Because all of a sudden he had like, what, a half hour, an hour to fill?
Yeah.
And none of it was sports. It was all like social and political.
Oh, yeah. It's like showing the picture 1,000 times of LAFC and Real together on the field and keep showing it again.
And I was impressed at how well he did, pivoting to
these guys,
that kind of thing.
These guys, all of these sports folks have had to just like be thrown into the fray, and it's just
bad. I feel like, but hold on a second though, and I've got no beef with any of the sports reporters out there. We know them, really good men and women. They do a very good job. But do you feel like they've been milking a little bit? Do you feel like sometimes their posts are getting a little sanctimonious?
What, the players? Oh, you
no,
mean
I'm
the,
talking
the
reporters.
The reporters.
I'm talking about the people that are covering the sports.
Give me an example.
You know, about
give me an example.
Here's an example of a genre, okay? And I've seen this tweeted many, many times. But the lavishing praise on Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
As a leader.
That's easy to do.
You know, social community leader. But yes. I just feel like they're kind of in the spotlight socially and politically, and they're a little bit milking it. I'm not talking about the players, because the players have their agenda.
Right.
Right.
And the players have a brand, too. Don't mess around. As soon as Donovan Mitchell, and this is not me being cynical either. Donovan Mitchell is like, hey, on my new shoe that was supposed to come out, when we release it, the first $90,000 are going to go to charity to pay for, I think it was to give James Blake's kids.
The college.
College fund.
Right, college
money.
Education.
Yeah. So that's good.
And I think that's great.
But the cynical part of me always goes, oh, Adidas, I know what you're doing here. Because he was reading a script, you know, when he was doing the thing. And I go, yeah, I get it. And he's a good dude. Like, the thing is Donovan Mitchell's a good dude. But, you know, the day after all these things get announced and then you roll out the statement from Adidas and talk about how, I get it. No, but the players have to do it.
I'm not talking about the players.
Though, I know.
Because the players are doing this for a specific reason. They're driving to something, right? They're trying to get to a place. I'm talking about the reporters have been kind of basking in it a little bit and like, oh man, now we're the ones, now we're the mouthpieces for social and political, you know, change here. And it's just felt a little. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but the sports reporters have felt a little. It's felt a little indulgent, self-indulgent.
Well, I'm telling you, I want to avoid it the most. And yet, you know, somebody even said they're like, "You guys not talking about it. You know that you need to talk about this more. And because if you're not, then you guys are the problem. You know, silence is violence, kind of a thing. And so it's a weird mix because obviously we want to talk about the sports aspect of it. But then we're asked to, like, kind of comment socially on it, which is a hard thing to do.
Well,
I mean, it's impossible.
Here's how you do it. But well, you know
it's
how to do it, though, because
I'll tell you why it's impossible. Because the reality is that our bosses are like, don't screw it up. I mean, straight up, they're like, don't say something that is not that. Don't say something that is going to get the entire community riled up against KSL because you said it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're in a weird spot here because everybody else can report on the news, but I have to opine on something during our show.
Well, I think, though, here's what you should fall back on. You should just fall back on, you know, your Nightside training, because we used to talk about this stuff all the time. I mean, we were the self-indulgent.
Social justice stuff comes up, and I just make fart noises.
No, but, I mean, as talk radio hosts, we were for years the self-indulgent, you know, guys kind of basking in the glow of the attention of that current events brings you. I mean, we've been those people. So I'm just saying, let that guide you with the sports. The guy who should be nervous is Scott Mitchell, because this is new for him, but it's not new for you.
It's exactly right. We've had meetings where he's like, I have not felt 100% like I want to be diving into these things. And they're like, it's fine. Just don't say anything that's going to get you in trouble or anybody else.
That's the most important thing, because here is something that I've kind of come to realize, okay? And maybe share this with Scott. Well, I don't know. Don't share it with him. I don't care. It is nowadays you cannot escape what you say. And so sometimes it's better to just kind of stay quiet on some things rather than have to kind of walk it back in the future. So here's an example, okay? We don't know what changes are going to come after all of this stuff. But if you look back to like the Martin Luther King days, all right, there are so many people that are alive today of a certain generation. And when they talk about how they always supported Martin Luther King, they're lying through their teeth. Okay. Because most white people didn't support Martin Luther King back in the day. They hated him, right? They hated him. Nowadays, though, he's universally appreciated. So there's a generation of Americans that were allowed to quietly change, right? And to quietly just kind of pretend that, well, they have always been like that, which is fine. You know, we're getting there, right? We arrived there in terms of perspective on Dr. King, and we're going through a period of social upheaval again. The thing is, though, is that we're not going to be able to just quietly pretend that we didn't say the things we said and we didn't support the things we supported. That's not available to us. It's available to our parents and our grandparents. They can just be glad that no one recorded what they said in 1969, right?
At their houses.
That's right. Yeah. But today...
Or on their sports shows.
That's right. Today, yeah. No such luck.
Yep.
It's going to follow you. And so it's really good advice to just be careful and try and learn as much as possible because the situations are going to change. The expectations are going to change and our own individual perspectives are going to change. And we have to be able to work through that process. We can't sabotage ourselves by shooting our mouths off too early, I think.
Ethan?
Yeah.
We did it.
We did it.
We got together. We did a little show. Got people back into it.
Yeah.
So look, we're going to start putting these back. We're going to do a few of these a week now, right? Is that what we decided?
Yeah, absolutely. But not tomorrow.
AJ
we
Party.
We could do it tomorrow.
I think AJ Party tweeted us and just said, look, how hard is it? I think they're talking
to
you.
Hard.
How hard is it? Set a date. Set a couple times a week aside and do some episodes, would you? What's it going to cost you? My thing is I'm in front of a board most of the afternoon every day.
Yeah.
I have to squeeze it in between show prep and going to get drinks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Go down to the free soda machine. Ethan, we'll be back again for another Nightside Project in the near future. So for Ethan, I'm Alex. We'll see you next time, everybody.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.